That's all right. You know what? So is Zacchaeus. So is David. Anyway, that's not the issue. Let me introduce myself just a little bit. My name is Richard Zeigert, and I have been in the ministry now for about 40 years. I got saved later on in life when I was 32 years old. I will not say that I didn't know of Christ, but I can tell you I didn't know Him. And one of the things that's kind of important that we need to understand is that just because somebody knows of somebody does not necessarily mean they know them. And when I finally understood, and it was really by my family's leading in this regard, they got me to church, and I heard a message from Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, that the Lord stands at the door and He knocks. And if any man will hear His voice and open the door, He'll come in unto them and sup with them. And the truth of the matter is, there's no greater truth in the whole world than what was just said. God loves you. And so I was in mechanical engineering at the time, and I was working in Toledo. My wife and I went to Bible college, and after Bible college, it's kind of interesting. After Bible college, I ended up pastoring a church, a small church in Florida. Then we moved to Illinois, where we were there for a little over 10 years. And then to Southern Illinois, and then we moved to Florida. And we were there until my wife's folks got very sick, and she ended up coming back here for her folks for about a year, and she would spend some time with me in Florida, and then she would come back up here for a month or so, and come back for a week or two, and then come back up here. And that went on for about a year, and then we ended up praying about it. We moved back up here, and now I serve at Lewis Avenue Baptist Church, and I also serve as an evangelist as I can. I'm not a young man, and the older I get, the happier I get. I'm that much closer. Truthfully, I really am. I know some people, they worry about getting old. I'm 74 years old, and I don't worry about that. I'm going to be with Jesus. And there is no more wonderful thing than an absolute knowledge that you have a home in heaven. And it's not because you earned it. Not because I did anything for it. It's simply because of a great God that we serve. And that leads us kind of into the message. And the songs that we sang actually went right along with it. If you want your soul set on fire, then allow the Lord to work in your life. Truthfully. So if you'll, you know, some people look, you know, at the world that's going on. How many know that things are getting pretty rough out there? Okay, maybe it's just in Toledo, I don't know. Out here, everything's pleasant, everything's going well. But it sounds to me, judging by your announcements, that you folks have issues and problems as well. But let me tell you something in the process of all of this. Our God is greater than any problem that you have or will have. Or have ever had. And a lot of times we actually don't understand that. We look at the world and we look at science, and sometimes it's science falsely so-called. There's nothing wrong with science itself in particular, but there's some science that's actually false and it's contrary to Scripture. And that science we know is true when the Bible tells us certain things. Whatever it says, we know that it's true. And if you're one of those that doubts whether or not the Scripture is true, may I encourage you, honestly, to decide which part of the Bible is true and which part of it is false. Because if any of it's false, it's all false. But if it's true, it's true. And I assure you, God's Word is true. Now, you may not see it, and you may not understand what's going on in your life, and sometimes that happens, but the truth of the matter is, God's Word is always true. And God loves you. He loves you more than you love you. And that's hard for us to understand. Take your Bibles, if you will, and understand that with God nothing is impossible, according to Luke chapter 1, verse number 37. And turn to 1 John chapter number 4, if you will, please. We have a number of verses to read. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but I will read some verses to you. that will start this out. And the title of the message is God is Great. And He is great. The Bible says in 1 John chapter number 4, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Then, of course, there's a colon that kind of explains that a little bit. And it says, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. By the way, are there still false prophets? Yes. If anybody comes to you and tries to give you any other gospel or tries to tell you that you can't be saved or tries to tell you something that's contrary to this book, it's a false gospel and they're a false prophet. And may I encourage you, don't believe it. So it goes on and it says, Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And so is it in the world today? You betcha. Ye are of God, little children. I love the way he says that. I like being God's little child. How many in here have children? Raise your hand. Don't you love your kids? I mean, the little ones. And they're so dependent. And you know what? And nobody can do anything against them without us being really upset about it, especially as parents. And the fact of the matter is, that's how our Heavenly Father is. When the little girl, little boy comes to you and they're crying, and what they're saying basically is what we should say to our Heavenly Father, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy, help me. None of us that I know of would turn a deaf ear to it and say, just go away. We want to help every way we can. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father is just like that. We are like little children to Him. He calls us lambs. By the way, well, we won't get into that. I can get off on a rabbit trail, and I don't feel like eating rabbit today, so anyway. And ye have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get started. Father, I'd ask that you please just set me aside and take your word and use it for the intent with which you sent it. And help us, Father, to receive it. Receive your word the way that you sent it. It will not return void, but will accomplish that for which you've sent it according to your word. And Father, we just ask that you'll please give us open hearts as well as open ears and open eyes. Help us to see what you want us to see from it. Help us to hear what you want us to hear from it. And then give us a heart that desires to change. Mold us and make us, Lord, like you would have us to be. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to start out basically on verse number 4, and he says, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What is it God can't do? I'm asking. There's nothing he can't do. The Bible says that with God, nothing is impossible. Is that true? So is he still in the miracle working business? Yes, he is. And while we may not see it because the world tries to convince us and other Christians try to convince us that we can only understand and we can only appreciate and God can only do what we've seen him do in the past and what we've heard other Christians say that he can do. And the fact of the matter is, God is not limited by anything. God can do it all. And one of the things we fail to understand is that God is greater than anything or anyone that we can begin to understand. Man cannot understand the expanses of space despite all the technology that they want to give us. They cannot count the stars despite all of the things they want to do. They want to tell us that our world is billions of years old. And the fact of the matter is, that is not what this book says. God created the earth, the heavens and the earth, and He did it in 6 days, and to prove it, He rested on the seventh and said, it's good. Period. And that includes the human race. And by the way, I know that when you go to certain schools, the fact of the matter is they try to tell you that there's such things as evolution. Evolution never took place. Now, are we evolving as a society? Yeah, my wife's looking at me like, uh-oh, where are you going with this? My wife is such a wonderful lady, and I apologize. I didn't introduce her. My wife's name is Barb. Want to stand up real quick? Anyway, if it weren't for her, I don't know what I would do. We've been married a very long time. I love her to death, and there's virtually nothing that I would not do for my wife except do what's contrary to this book. However, I said that to say this. The fact of the matter is, our society is not evolving as society thinks that it does or as the world thinks that it does, but it is getting progressively worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we discount those verses oftentimes, and especially those of us that are a little bit older, we might look at the world and say, well, it's really not a whole lot worse than it's ever been. I assure you, the Bible says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. We're not that way anymore, are we? Covetous? No, we're not that way. Boasters? No, no, no. Proud? No, no, no. Blasphemers? No. Disobedient to parents? No, kids aren't like that. Yeah, it's exactly what our world is today. And it says perilous times are here. But you know what? Greater than all the perilous times, greater than all of that, is our God. He is. He's greater than our past. He's greater than our past sin. Verse number 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but He loved us, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 says this, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So the word propitiation means to appease one offended, and basically to render him favorable in the sight of the person who's been offended. Our lives, basically, when we were born as sinners, what we have done offends God. And so in order to get along with the Lord, in order for Him to bless us, in order for Him to do what is best for us, basically what He has done, He sent His only begotten Son here to die on a cross, live a perfect life and die on a cross, shed His blood so that you and I could be reunited in fellowship with God the Father. And He did it because He loves us. Now, I don't know how many in here would die for somebody who is a wicked sinner, but the fact of the matter is, our Savior did. Is our sin something that we can no longer live down? The truth of the matter is, when Jesus Christ washed you, He washed you every whit. Some people live a life and they feel like, I've done things that are so bad in my past before I got saved that God just can't possibly use me. He can't love me because everybody else has pushed me away. Let me tell you from God's word, He loves you so much that in that while you were yet rebelling against Him, pushing Him away and doing what was wrong, He died on the cross so you could go to heaven. It's a gift. And anybody tries to tell you that you have to pay for it doesn't understand the grace of our wonderful God. It's free to us. You understand? It's free. See, if I were in a Pentecostal church, we'd be running the pews by now. Really, think about it. It's free to you and me. It didn't cost us anything. The only thing you have to do is believe on His name. Believe that He is God. That His death, basically, and burial and resurrection were for you, and ask Him to save you, and He will. Amen.
Marvelous, marvelous grace. Our God is so much greater than anything we can imagine. Mostly because most of us are raised to think, if we do wrong, we have to pay for it. By the way, if you do wrong, do you have to pay for it? Are there consequences for doing wrong? Sure. Are there consequences for Christians doing wrong? This isn't rocket science. I'm not trying to tell you something that's wrong. It's absolutely true. There are consequences for what we do. But are you ever in a position where you're out of God's love once you're His child? Let me ask you this question. What do your own children have to do to get out of your family? What if they go to prison? What if they murder somebody? Are they still in your family? You may not like what they did, but they're still in your family. You can't get them out because they were born there. And when you're born again into the family, you can't get out. Oh, man. I get so excited. I'm telling you, somebody ought to set our souls on fire for this truth because we've grown cold to it. And what we're doing is letting the world die and go to hell with the knowledge that we find so exciting from our God. And we should not do that. All of us have family members, friends, people that we need to tell the gospel to. And honestly, what a wonderful spirit I sense here. Ed and his family and the... Jeff, yeah. The Smales, they're wonderful people. And no doubt all of you are. And please forgive me, I'm not real good with names. That's why I have my wife. She's good with names. Anyway. So God can forgive us of anything. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud for thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Now understand something. God didn't just push sin aside and say it doesn't matter. Sin has to be paid for. And so with the blood of Christ, he blotted it out. How many know that whiteout does not erase the word? How many know what whiteout is? Well, it may, you know, a lot of the young people, they use computers. What's whiteout? What are you talking about? What is that stuff? I'm old. They used to use it with typewriters. You know, they get a letter that they hit that was wrong, and they'd white it out, and they'd have to wait till it dries. Well, it blots out that letter. And you put a new one over it. God did that with our sin. He blotted out our sin by His blood, and He put a new life over it. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, my God. You guys. Anyway. So, we see that our sins are not erased, basically, but what they are is blotted out. So our God is great enough to overcome our past sin. He's also great enough to overcome our present shortcomings. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Or 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 18. Now, we did not read verse number 18 before, but it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Most people, truthfully, will miss heaven by 18 inches, and I would have before I got saved. That's the distance from here to here. You can know of Christ, but do you know Him here? Is He in your heart? Let me share something with you. When He's in your heart, He changes you. Now, that change, how long does it take for a child to grow up? Their entire life. Truthfully, I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still trying to be more like my Savior. When does that stop? That stops when my heart stops, or the Lord, or the trumpet sounds, and He says, come on home. That's when it stops. Because then we will know even as we are known. The fact of the matter is, we're all growing. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you started there and now you're growing. Do we ever do anything wrong? You ever thought anything wrong after you got saved? No. I mean, what's not to love? I mean, come on. The fact of the matter is, we all do. We're all sinners, saved by grace. That doesn't give us a license to go sin, because there are consequences for that sin. You say, well, I'm a Christian and I'm going to go rob a bank. Well, you go ahead and tell the police that when they pick you up. I'm a Christian. Nothing should happen to me. Okay, go to jail. Well, I'm not so certain anymore, but anyway, that's another issue for another day. The fact of the matter is, even in our present shortcomings and in our present faults, our Lord is still greater than them all. When you repent, it's a most wonderful thing that you can imagine. When we repent of our sin, regardless of how grievous that it is, the Father puts it behind him. And he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Do you know what that means? Have you ever thought about that verse? It's wonderful. Do you know that if I start here and I walk west, I can keep walking west and I never meet east. I am never walking east. They don't ever come together. If I'm standing on the North Pole and I walk south, what happens when I get to the South Pole? I'm walking north. Doesn't happen that way with east and west. God knew what he was doing when he wrote it. So your sins are forgiven. And from God's vantage point, he looks at you and he says, Jeff, you're perfect. I don't see any sin. What are you talking about? All he sees is the blood of our Savior. Now, Ed, that's a different person, but hey, we'll pray for him. Just kidding, Ed. He's sitting out there with his computer, so. He says, repent ye, in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye, therefore, and be converted, for your sins may be blotted out. Our present shortcomings, honestly, they go away. 1 John chapter number 1, verses 8 through 10 says this, and they're wonderful verses, if you'll turn there. Marvelous verses. I did not write this. God did. And for those that may think that, well, yeah, you can't be forgiven of some things. Well, here's what it says. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive somebody. Who is that? Ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So he is greater than our past sin. He's greater than our present shortcomings. And he's greater than our future failings. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. Turn there, please. Wonderful, marvelous verses. The Bible says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What's condemnation? What is it?
Judgment.
Could say it's judgment. I'll tell you what. If you look at a condemned killer, that's somebody who's committed the crime, they've been caught, they've been judged, they've been found guilty, and they're sitting condemned, waiting to die. The Bible says that every human being on this planet is a sinner. Basically, if you were to go to John chapter 3, verse 36, you would find out that the whole world is already condemned, awaiting judgment. That's everybody. That includes you and me, until we come to Christ. And he says, we're not condemned in Christ. Why? Because we've gotten full pardon in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Oh my goodness. I'm going to sin, but I don't want to. You're going to sin. Hopefully you don't want to. But when you do, we have an advocate with the Father, and his name is Christ Jesus the Lord. And we can go to him, confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us and to begin the cleansing process. Now, one of the things in the cleansing process is we have to let him. I like the sign up there. Let. There are some things we have to do. If you want to let the Lord cleanse you, he will do that. And it's also, he's great enough to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, past, present, and future. I don't know how much time I have left. I was told that that I was supposed to be finished close to noon. Our second point here is, not only is God greater than our sin, but he's greater than our pain. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Some of you folks are going through some very great pains. You're going through very great pain in the process, not only of great pain because of some sickness or some problem or some sorrow. I heard that your pastor had passed away about 2 weeks ago, and it makes it very difficult in church, and it does. And many are grieving because of that, not just family members, but it's hard. It's a difficult thing. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And yet God says in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, I love these verses. He says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." There's all kinds of pain that we go through, and God allows it. So why does he allow it? Well, some of it is to make us more like Christ. Did Christ go through any difficulties? Can you imagine? I really cannot, but can you imagine going through life knowing what everybody else is thinking? Seriously? No. What your husband is thinking or your wife is thinking. Sometimes you know because they tell you. Sometimes they tell you pretty vehemently. But the fact of the matter is, you really don't know what they're thinking. Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, knew what everybody else was thinking. He not only had the sin that was around him, but he had also the demons and the devil that were trying to stop him in the process. And then at the end, he finally made the statement, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Looking forward to what was coming, the torture, the spitting upon, the accusations that were false, and all he did was try to love people and help people. And he still said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And so our Father, our gracious Heavenly Father, allows us to go through trials and temptations and troubles to make us better if we don't allow them to make us bitter. God loves you. He loves you so much that he wants you to be like his son and depend upon him. We said at the beginning of this message, is there anything that's impossible with God? The answer to that is no. Can God comfort your heart in the midst of terrible sickness? Yes. Can God comfort your heart in the midst of terrible sorrow, the death of a loved one, or someone that's close to you? Yes. Can God comfort your heart in the midst of financial disaster, in the midst of physical disaster? And the answer is absolutely. But you know what? Too often we go to the world. Is the world going to comfort your heart? No. He said he comforts those who come to him. Do you know what your Heavenly Father really wants from you? Just like you do with your own children, he wants you totally dependent upon him. And to understand that he's not going to do anything that's going to harm you. See, God will allow difficulties to come in your life not to destroy your faith, but to build it up. God never wants to destroy your faith. He wants it to be built up. And so no matter what you're going through, our Lord really, truly, honestly loves you. He is greater than all the problems. Problems that divide. Psalm 133, verse number 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to live together in unity." The fact of the matter is, one of the basic problems in our world today is a lack of unity. People hate. It's an unbelievable thing, at least that I've seen since I've been growing up. People just hate people. And by the way, that's part of what the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. People love themselves. And it really doesn't matter about you as long as I'm okay. You know what? God doesn't want us to take that approach. He wants us to love one another, to encourage one another, to support one another, and ask if there's anybody possibly that could help maybe with the children. Let me tell you something. That's the next generation that's going to be in the church, are the children. They need you. And they need your help. And you say, "But I don't have time." Really? Then you're too busy. Our children need you, and they need to know what you know. Mostly what they need to know is there's a good God that loves them. Not just the parents, but there's a God that loves them. And by the way, not every adult is bad. There are some that are. There are some that are terrible. But not everyone that walks the planet is bad. Our God can comfort us in the midst of anything. In the midst of troubles, in the midst of problems that destroy. I'm going to read some verses, and the Bible says, first of all, in problems of division, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 8, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of thy mouth." But he does tell us in verse number 12, chapter 3 of Colossians, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." What did Christ forgive you of? What does he ask you to forgive others of? There's lots of people walking around today. They're harboring all kinds of hatred and anger and bitterness. That was not a suggestion. That's a command. And if you're here and you're a Christian, dump the anger and the bitterness and the hatred toward anybody. Do you know the world out there that are doing such horrible things? They're the world. They don't know any different. You know the difference because you have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit that lives here. What are you doing to make a difference out there? That's the question. You know what? Jesus spoke to people in groups, but most often it was one person at a time. And that's what we need to do. Tell the world what you know. Oh, well, they won't listen. Really? Oh, I see. God doesn't have the power in your world to help people listen. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit was given to the world to convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. With you going and tell them, "Hey, I got good news. You don't have to live through this judgment that's coming. Jesus Christ can get you out of it." That's the good news. Amen? Yeah, I can tell you're pretty excited. And there's problems with discouragement. How many in here have ever been discouraged? See, you don't want to raise your hand because, well, I don't want to admit it. Yeah, I've been discouraged. Hey, if you're alive, you've been discouraged. If you've never been discouraged, you're probably not alive. I don't know how you got to be sitting here, but all of us have been discouraged. Can God get us through that? Sure he can. You know, Psalm 33:1 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." Psalm 97:12 says, "Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Truth of the matter is, we'll get discouraged, but we don't have to stay there. People today, all they want to do is run to drugs and all that for discouragement. For those of us that are Christians, the Lord can get you out of it. Go to him. Do you know what prayer's for? Oh, it's for somebody to do when they stand up here. No. Prayer should be a part of your life all the time. The Bible says something like, pray without ceasing. Yeah. What does that mean? That means always be in an attitude of prayer. Be in contact with your Father. He loves you. You can go to him and say, "Man, I'm really hurt. I'm really discouraged about this. I think I'm going to lose my job. We're having financial problems. I've got this going on in my house. My aunt, my uncle, my mother, my brother, my sister, even me, I'm sick. They're telling me I got cancer." I got news for you, my friend. The Lord already knows. "But ye have not because ye..." Oh, ask not, or ye ask amiss. The fact of the matter is, most of the time, it's not because we ask amiss so much, because we just don't bother asking. Oh yeah, God can take care of the big problems, I can take care of the little ones. Really, what verse is that? I don't have it in my Bible, and I've read it through, I don't know how many times. I read it through twice a year, plus my studies. The fact of the matter is, our God can do anything. I mean anything. Do you know, well, I won't. I think about these things and I just get so excited, I just almost can't take it. Really. We don't have to stay discouraged. We don't have to stay feeling low. We don't have to stay in a position where we have no hope. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 6 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll do what? Is he always going to direct it through a smooth place? No. You know what? You know what grows on top of a mountain? I've been Pike's Peak out west, all the way to the top. You know what grows up out there? Zero. Not even grass. Why? It's cold. It's uninhabitable. It's not a good place. We like the mountaintop. You know where things grow big? Down in the valley. Where it's hot, where it rains. And guess what? Things grow really big there. Sometimes the Lord allows difficulties in our lives to help us to grow because we need it. Not because he's trying to hurt us. So rather than whine and complain, not that any of us would ever do that, of course, but rather than whine and complain, you know what? Go to the Lord and say to him, "Thank you, Father, for the difficulty. Help me to know what I should learn from this problem and how to handle it." And you know what? The Bible promises he will. Oh, he may not do it in the way that you'd like to see it done, but he promised that it would be best. I'll close with this. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Verses 28 and 29. In Romans chapter 8, we have a wonderful statement. And by the way, for those that think that they don't sin, they could go to Romans chapter number 7 and they'd find out that even Paul said, "I do that which I would not, and I do not that which I would." And he finally concluded, "O wretched man that I am, who will be able to deliver me from this body of death?" And the answer to that was, Jesus Christ can. And by the way, Jesus Christ can deliver you from anything. And Romans chapter 8, and I love it. It says here, in Romans, I'm in Acts. If I go to Romans, it really does make it a lot better. It's a lot more, makes more sense. I know the verse. But it says, I'm sorry, I said Did I give you verses? 28 and 29, yes. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Notice verse 29, which we often forget. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We like the part that says all things work together for good. Do they always work together for what we perceive to be good? How many in here are praying for somebody? Do you know that people are watching you? They watch you come to church. They watch what you do when you go through difficulties. They watch what happens when things seem to fall apart. They watch you all the time. They really do. Your kids watch you. Other people watch you. Your family members, especially those that are lost, they watch you. And the Bible says that He will answer your prayers if you're praying for them. But you might have to go through difficulties so that they watch how you handle it and say that your God can. The community is watching this church as you go through the difficulty that occurred because your pastor passed away. Show them something that is good, that your God can and your God will. But you know what? It might mean you'll have to go through some difficulties. Is it okay? See, that's the part we don't like. I want to go through the difficulties as long as I'm not uncomfortable. Don't let it cost me anything. The truth is, it will cost you. Everything costs. Your salvation costs. That doesn't mean God loves you less. And it doesn't mean that it won't work out for good. I have seen the Lord over my lifetime, and I have a very short Christian lifetime compared to some. I've watched Him turn situations and circumstances, not right away, but over time, that turned out so much better than what I wanted Him to do originally. But He did it in His time and in His way. And not only did it work out better than what I wanted, but way better for somebody else. I'm going to heaven. And if you're saved, you're going to heaven. And you know what? That's the best thing can happen to any of us. The trip is what we don't like. The fact of the matter is, though, people are watching you. How do you handle all those things? I'd like you to bow your heads and I'd like you to close your eyes. And I'm just going to ask you, when people are watching you, what are they seeing? I'm going to ask this question. How many are here this morning and you would say, preacher, by just raising your hand, preacher, I know I have a home in heaven waiting for me. Just slip your hand up. Put it right back down. Maybe you're here and you're saying, preacher, I haven't a clue how to get to heaven. I don't have any idea what you're talking about. I won't call your name out, but let me tell you something. Jesus Christ loves you. His death and His burial and His resurrection were for you, as well as everybody else. But you know what? You have to take the step of saying, I don't deserve it. But ask Him to save you, and He promised He would. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, may I ask you, just slip your hand up and put it right back down. I won't tell anybody. I won't call your name out. I won't point you out. I won't do anything. Is there anybody that's here that would say, preacher, I need Jesus? I don't see any hands. Maybe you're here and you're saying, yeah, I know that God is great. We know that. But are you living it? Are you actually doing what God says to do because He's so great? Or are you still leaving it up to you? Yeah, He expects us to do what we can do. But you know what? We can't do what God does. Give it over to Him. Father, I sure do thank You for each and every one that's here. And I thank you, Lord, for their kindness and kind intention. I ask most of all, Lord, that they would bring you honor and glory and praise in their lives. It is true, Lord. Without you, we can do nothing. That doesn't mean that we can't work, but it amounts to nothing. It doesn't mean we can't hope for things, but it amounts to nothing without Christ. Help us to live in such a way that we're in our minds and in our hearts totally dependent upon you, using the gifts that you have given to us to bring honor and glory and praise to you. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here.
Oh, Jerry will close this.
Jerry will close? Right, there he is.
Please stand. Sing our closing chorus, number 119.